is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Alvaro. We'll start here at the top and talk about places of worship. The president came out and talked about our religious liberty. This has been a real issue. Join us in the top stories. Jim McKay is here. Jim is a political analyst with a 30-year background in global technology, telecommunications, and pharmaceuticals. And Ilana Friedman is here. Ilana is a veteran intelligence analyst, a political commentator, and host here at America Out Loud. And Ilana, let's start right there and talk about religious liberty. So the president has asked the CDC to deem places of worship essential. The argument is this. Some of the states have deemed other things, that are a little edgy and controversial, like liquor stores and abortion clinics and other things, that they're essential to life in America, but not your church and your place to worship. There's something warped about all that, many people would say. What do you say?
People need their faith in order to get through this. But he does not have the constitutional authority to override the governor. So he has asked the CDC to intercede with a new directive. And he has also asked the governors of the state, of the individual states, to declare that the churches can be opened. And I think that's the right decision. We have learned in the course of all this how to stay safe, how to keep ourselves and our communities safe. Now we have to employ that in a reopened country, in a reopened community, and opening the churches, I think, is a very, very important part of it.
And it's a new environment and a new way to do business as well, people. And that's really the message there. But the takeaway there, what Ilana says, is that the president can suggest and guide, but the power is really to these states. So the lesson to a lot of you out there, if you live in a state where you don't like the rules and regulations, I've got good news and bad news. Bad news is you may have to move, but the good news is you can and still be in the same country. That is a beautiful thing about America, actually. With 50 states, you've got a lot of choices there, people. A lot of politics going on with red and blue states now. You know, we've seen this coming for a long time now, this divide in our nation. Well, let me tell you now, this past Wednesday, by the way, interesting piece of trivia here for you, Connecticut became the final state to lift restrictions when it gave the green light to shops and restaurants under certain conditions. I mean, there's a lot of restrictions with the mask wearing and only 25% occupancy in a lot of cases. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, they may change that. So there's a lot of rules and regulations. What are you seeing, Jim, in regards to this disparity between red states and blue states?
It's definitely drawn upon political lines where the blue states and a few of those states that are what we call the swing states are very slow to open, very restrictive, and 100% political motivation for this at this point.
Yeah, no, it totally is. That's it. And we're seeing that with all the signs of these states. I think people are going to pay attention now, again, to what I said a moment ago, guys, that, if you don't like the state you're in, and we're seeing that now, there are people that are moving because they don't like the politics in that state. And that's our prerogative, for sure. You see some of the comments from Rush Limbaugh this past week, I think, are interesting to comment on. He says Rush says all these blue state governors that want to keep their states locked down, it's purely political. And he said the next 4 months will be a veritable civil war as the process plays out. So he's calling it a potential civil war. And Ilana, to that point here, an ABC poll just here a few days ago showed that 92% of Democrats oppose reopening the country versus only 35% of Republicans. So it looks like we've all been sort of brainwashed a little bit in the nation, huh?
The states who have the worst records of authoritarian control are the blue state. And the worst of the lot are the governors Andrew Cuomo, Gretchen Whitmer, who just expanded Michigan's lockdown for the fifth time, and Gavin Newsom in California. Also Oregon's Kate Brown and Washington State's Jay Inslee. And these people have it seems to me maybe they are so hungry for power that they don't care what they do to their own citizens. And and yet the states that are opening, which are the first ones to open, are the red states, and they haven't seen a second wave. I think one's coming, but it's not because states are open or closed. We know how to take care of ourselves, and that's what we've learned over the past couple of months. And,
that's right.
And now it's up to Americans to assert their freedom and do what they have to do in order to open up the country again. And that's what's happening.
So well said, for sure. You know, I don't know how Whitmer gets reelected as governor in Michigan. She has really offended a good part of that state, quite frankly. Well, let me tell you something else. Anthony Fauci comes out. He says that the stay-at-home orders that extend too long, that they could cause the United States irreparable damage. Jim, it's kind of a switch for Fauci, who's been preaching about keeping everything closed and being very cautious. Well, let me tell you something else. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky and Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona, they wrote in an op-ed that Fauci and company have relied on models that were later found to be deficient. And they even suggested that he can't rely on any of the models, especially if the underlying assumptions are wrong. This is an op-ed, Jim, they put in the USA Today. Yet Fauci persists in advocating policies that have emasculated the medical care system and ruined the economy. And they pointed to testimony he had said and so on and so forth. Why the change in heart, you think, with Fauci? I think he's been kind of called on the ropes maybe from the administration. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't think Fauci has told us everything he knows all along since the beginning. He keeps flip-flopping back and forth between hydroxychloroquine, this new drug from Gilead, now to another drug, vaccine, no vaccine, everything closed, open. He just doesn't stop. I don't trust the guy as far as I could throw him.
The Senate, they confirmed Representative John Ratcliffe as Director of National Intelligence. Now, the vote was 49-44 to confirm Ratcliffe, right along party lines now. He received, listen to this, more votes against his confirmation than any DNI in the history of that office. A lot of that kind of tells you something right there. I mean, listen to what I say there. He received more votes against his confirmation than any DNI in the history of that office. Pretty wild, isn't it?
It's pretty wild, but it's pretty standard with what we're dealing with right now. He didn't get any support from the Democrats. And honestly, there have been some questions raised about him that, you know, we might want to pay attention to a little bit, because the questions that they're asking are, does he have the experience? And does he have the qualifications? And there's some question about that, whether he was appointed because of his qualifications or because of his loyalty to the president. I think this is something that's just going to have to play out, and we'll see how well he does. I suspect he's going to do quite well.
Well, in another very interesting news story, guys, this week here, and this is something that we have all been waiting to say, what took so long? And that is the FBI Director Wray, Christopher Wray, that is, he opened the internal review, finally, into the Bureau's handling of Michael Flynn. Many people think this is a long time coming. Now, this doesn't give them, they won't have prosecutorial authority, as always, people. Just keep that in mind, to bring a criminal case. What do you think of this? Jim, let me stay with you on this. What do you think of this story with Wray? Caught a lot of people by surprise.
I watch this guy whenever he's in a hearing. He looks like he's half asleep at the wheel. he hasn't done anything since he's been director of the FBI. I don't know, is this going to be another Inspector General deal where you get some kind of a brief or a paper out of it, nothing happens? The same thing, the Senate is going to conduct hearings on the Flynn thing. And again, there's no power for them to issue indictments, or all they can do is refer it back to the DOJ for some future action. I think the Durham effort is the most important of anything, because that has the only venue that has any opportunity to take it to trial.
You know, Christopher Wray, Ilana, many people suggest that he is part of the FBI bureaucracy and cabal to begin with. And they're questioning why the president appointed him in that position. In other words, how do I say to you, he was very involved in his cohorts with, for instance, James Comey and that whole group. They're very, very, and Robert Mueller. They were all, he was there at the time, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of questions as to why he was appointed, and people don't have the confidence in him. As Jim just said, it looks, people think he is half asleep. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I think he has done a poor job, but it was expected because he was part of the establishment. And I don't see any way that we could have reasonably expected him to take a strong position against the people he's been working with. And I think he needs to be gone. I think we need an overhaul of the FBI. I'm not one of those people who agrees that it's only the top echelon. I think there's something not okay with the whole organization. And it needs to be restructured and reorganized, and the agents need to go through retraining because they're not doing the job they were set out to do. It's all been political, and even at the lower levels, agents, special agents, they call themselves, have been looking at over their shoulders, you know, when they try to do their job, because they're constantly looking to make sure that they're going to keep their jobs and that they're going to be in line for promotion. So I think Ray needs to be gone.
That's a great analysis, what you say there, man. That is a terrific analysis. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of people would agree with you. A lot of listeners would agree that, you know, it's not always that top upper echelon of any organization. It's leadership starts at the top, but it infiltrates throughout any organization. That's always been the standard in America. So don't lose sight of that, people. I mean, I talk to you all the time about that. Ilana, why we're talking here, China now. Wow, this is something else, this next story here, I have to tell you. So listen to this now. This should get everybody a bit not only outraged, but we all need to be cautious of what's going to happen here next. Incredible stakes at risk here. China is trying to leverage the research regarding the coronavirus now, and they're more or less jockeying for position, is the way I would say it, Ilana, with the United States to control the global pandemic narrative and the results of all this. So the FBI and Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency last week issued a joint statement, the two organizations, that China-linked hackers were targeting data related to COVID-19 research, including vaccines, treatments, and testing from networks across the nation. China is in high pursuit, they say, to hack this critical information and research by American universities and our laboratories in the private sector. Now, the problem is this. The information developed by these institutions, while it's very valuable and very, very sensitive, well, Marco Rubio, the senator, comes out. He's chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He says, you're asking a university or even a business to stand up against a nation state. He said, that's not the way it is. And so this has become very edgy with this information. And they're worried about this with China. There are a lot of conversations I'm reading about this now that are happening. What do you think about this?
Isn't it ironic that, China, who created this virus, who released this virus, it was sanctioned by the government, and the release of 5 million people into the world to go travel and carry it around, that this all came from China. And now they are trying to tap into our resources to find a cure, to find a vaccine. I think it's it speaks to the character of the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government, and the real evil intent that they cannot behave properly in any context.
Wow. Yeah, that is so true here. You know, this story, Jim, listen to this, retired FBI assistant special agent in charge of intelligence and counterintelligence, Scott Olson, he says China is actively trying to exploit, which is what Alana is saying there, that gap between federally protected information and what's produced in the public realm. But this has been the ongoing problem we've had with China. This was all front and center with the whole trade deal and all that. And then the problem is, how do you trust anything the Chinese say or do? And their agreements appear to be worthless. And as Alana said, talk about a double standard in what they're trying to pull off now after creating this virus to begin with. It is so outrageous what's happening here. What's the answer to this, Jim? How can we crack down? What can we do about this, if anything?
Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to have systems that disconnect from China. I mean, this whole bit of technology transfer that they demand, their intrusion into our intellectual property. I mean, 300,000 technical students from China in our universities. You have to take harsh steps to start moving in a direction of isolating them. 20 years ago, Trump said China is the most dangerous thing entity out there. Mm-hmm. People are beginning to realize this. The American public is. The Democrats have no idea. They don't have a clue of what's going on here, or they just won't admit it. On this drug vaccine, that's over a $10 billion windfall to the company that comes out with it first, because the government's already, you know, they already put $1 billion behind this AstraZeneca drug that is being developed. So it's money, it's huge groups of people that are invested in these things, and China has to be not so much made to pay for it, they need to be taken off the playing field completely at this point.
Yeah, that's it. And we got to figure out how to do that, because the information we're seeing is pretty egregious at this point here. While we're on China a moment here, Jim, you see this Hong Kong power grab that's going on here. So Xi Jinping, it is being said, is sending a clear message to Donald Trump. We're going to do what we want in Hong Kong, and we're not scared of the consequences. Things are heating up again in Hong Kong, and it looks like Xi is going for the jugular now. What do you think?
Yeah, he's going to roll tanks in there if they have to. That's going to be ugly, and uglier than it is, and nobody's going to come to Hong Kong rescue. Not us, not the Europeans, nobody. They're just going to let it go.
I don't know that there's much of a choice at this point, Ilana. I think China knows they have the upper hand with this. In fact, Chris Patten, the last governor of the former British colony, says China has betrayed the people of Hong Kong, so the West should stop kowtowing to Beijing for some sort of an illusory great pot of gold. Beijing is set to impose new national security legislation on Hong Kong after a sustained campaign of pro-democracy protests last year in the city, which, Ilana, you and I have covered extensively here. Britain comes out, let me say this, and said the Hong Kong people have been betrayed by China. And Britain says that they have a moral, economic, and legal duty to stand up for Hong Kong. Well, what the hell does that mean, Ilana?
It doesn't mean much, and I'd like to know where the hell Britain has been in all this. They signed an agreement with Hong Kong, with China, rather, about Hong Kong when they left Hong Kong, and that was in 1997. They signed an agreement that said that Hong Kong would be autonomous for 50 years, and China signed it. And China has slowly been chipping away at all that. And it's come to a point where they have now said, they now have written a law which has to be passed by the government of Hong Kong, which is essentially now has become a, it was supposed to be voted on, the participants were supposed to be voted on by the Hong Kong people. That has long gone, and the CEO of the government is an appointee of China. And according to all this, the relevant China is now prepared to put, quote, relevant national security agencies from central government into Hong Kong to set up bases, so that that's something short of the army, of the military coming in, but they're sending in their, essentially their secret police. China said something that we should have noticed. They said that one country, two systems, China would be communist, and Hong Kong would be free market. The two systems framework, they said, was supposed to be supposed to last until 2047. But 3 years ago, on the 20th anniversary of this agreement, the Chinese government said that Hong Kong's legal autonomy and the treaty that they signed had no practical significance.
That's exactly it, yeah. It is a fool's game is what it is, Ilana. And it has been a fool's game. And there are very limited options that can happen here. I mean, that's the bottom line here. And as you say, well, they signed. Well, what does it mean when China signs on it? It doesn't mean anything. So sure, they signed that agreement. But I knew when they did that with Britain back in the day there, that it wouldn't last the test of time. And here we are. As we discussed, the other day on The Voice of a Nation, I mean, you just, it's not worth the paper it's written on. So all these trade deals and all these agreements, and what it's coming down to, people, is that China is an evil force. And I think people's eyes are wide open now as to what China is up to. And even worse than that is now they're doing a full court press. Now that the pandemic has distracted the world, they're going to take advantage of all kinds of things, including Taiwan, Hong Kong, the South China Seas, and they're going to double, triple, quadruple down in everything they can. It's a sad day for freedom, really, is what it is. And there's not much that anybody can do about it, because unless you want to start World War III, they're a nuclear force, and they're going to do what they want to do. And I hate to report that to you, but that's what it appears to be here. So let's all just take a deep breath with this whole pandemic thing and China thing. And as we continue to move forward on Viewpoint here, friends, you know, listen, there's an awful lot happening all around the world. And there is a great deal happening here at AmericaOutloud.com. We're on the front lines here. We are all about our liberty. We're all about fighting for that liberty. Now, we need your help to do that as well, to get the word out there and continue the march forward here. For 243 years, the sacred trust of liberty has been passed on here from generation to generation. And as I remind you all the time, it's now our responsibility to do exactly that, to be able to preserve future generations here. So that's our job number one, people. We'll be back after this quick pause.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. One of the headlines that caught my attention in the New York Times said, get ready for a vaccine information war. And of course, I've been talking to you all about this in recent days and weeks here about the vaccines that are coming and all the different players that are working on them. It is going to become a very, very big story, as I say, in the months and weeks ahead here. I promise you that. Also, you've been hearing so much about the politics of hydroxychloroquine. And there's a new study out as well from the Lancet Medical Journal, which is quite fascinating. Listen, there's a lot of bad information out there to debunk. And our job here is to debunk it. So that's what we need to do here and educate everybody. And this is really life and death information we're talking about here. So it's not casual, and I suggest you pay attention and we educate people. So let me start first with this report in the New York Times. And it is, get ready for a vaccine information war. What if we could get a COVID-19 vaccine and half the country refuses to take it? Interesting question. We'll take that up next, and let me bring on here both Dr. Jane Orient joins us. She's the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. president of Doctors for Disaster Preparedness and a general internal medicine specialist, practices in Tucson, Arizona. Also joining us is Dr. Elizabeth Lievliet. She's an independent physician specializing in preventive and climacteric medicine. She's a wonderful writer, columnist, and a great voice here at America Out Loud. So starting with this vaccine business, let me read this to you with Dr. Orient first. And it says here, this war could pit public health officials and politicians against an anti-vaccination movement that floods social media with misinformation, conspiracy theories, and propaganda aimed at convincing people that the vaccine is a menace rather than a life-saving economy rescuing miracle. So, Dr. Orient, what do you think about this vaccine, what New York Times is calling an information war? Is that what's going to happen next, you think, here?
I think that at the moment, the New York Times is assuming that we're going to have a safe, effective vaccine and that 300 million people ought to take it. But we remember back in 1976 with the swine flu thing, the swine flu epidemic just kind of vanished, but many people got the vaccine and got Guillain-Barré syndrome, and many of them died for a vaccine that eventually proved not to be helpful at all because the disease had gone away. And how can he be sure that this vaccine is going to be safe? It takes months or years to test that because you don't find the rare or the long-term consequences without following a lot of people for a long time, not just a few days or weeks like sometimes happens in vaccine studies.
Yeah. See, now you say a lot right there. I get the sense that there's this huge rush to market, which in this case could be dangerous with a vaccine, because let's face it, I mean, vaccines are pretty serious and they're very dangerous as well. If you don't get the concoction right in the vaccine, we're in a lot of trouble, aren't we?
Well, we are. Many vaccines have been withdrawn from the market. The actual rate of serious adverse effects may be as high as 2%. We have very poor follow-up mechanisms for this, and we're having warp speed here. And if you're a science fiction fan, you know that warp speed means that you're just bypassing a lot of things, and that bypassing careful safety testing seems to be what's on the agenda.
For this vaccine, it seems to be people think it's a cure-all, and that's the sense I'm getting. And some of us are very apprehensive about this, especially with some of the players involved. I mean, the question I always ask is this: if a vaccine was available tomorrow, would you take it? And I'm asked that same question, and my answer back to that question would be no, I would not. Would you take it, Dr. Orient?
Absolutely not.
There it is, yeah. Dr. Vliet, would you take it?
No, absolutely not. With this rush to market and with the questions about the safety and the fact that we have safer options, I mean, simply taking hydroxychloroquine 400 milligrams once a week prophylactic dose, as they've been doing all across India and many other countries, is a much safer, more effective solution to the problem, in my medical opinion.
Yeah. One of the points of the vaccine business I want to mention to you both, it's this here, and I've read several reports about this, and I'd like to get your opinion on it. It says here, this is a rapidly mutating virus, meaning a vaccine made for a strain won't be able to handle the currently circulated viruses. Now, let me explain what this means. What they're saying is that the SARS-CoV-2 rapidly mutates, and there are two results. And by the way, they're saying that what I understand and have read about this, it has mutated, I believe, about 30 times since its inception in Wuhan in November 2019 is what I've understood now. And I don't know if that's completely accurate, but that's what I've been told. There are two factors here, or two results that would potentially that could come from the mutation. One, it becomes more aggressive, reports are saying. But number two is the important one I want to talk to you both about, is no vaccine will help because the virus mutates out of the vaccine's range. Dr. Orient, what do you say about that?
I think both of those are possible. Another thing is that the vaccine may actually have a very serious deleterious effect on people who have already been exposed to the SARS virus. This was noticed in a vaccine for the SARS-1 virus. There is always this danger with vaccines, and vaccines are not 100% effective. The influenza vaccine may be 30% effective some years. So there is all the risk in everybody who takes the vaccine, all 300 million people or however many they can persuade to take it. But only a very small minority of them would probably ever get the disease. And as Dr. Vliet says, we do have an excellent prophylactic for the disease, hydroxychloroquine, which has been proven safe in the vast majority of people for about 65 years. And at least in the studies we have been able to tabulate, when it's used early, it helps about 90% of the people that take it. That's much, much better and far safer than any vaccine in history.
See, and that's where the misinformation is coming, Dr. Vliet. So well said what Dr. Orion says there. If you just listen to what she said, people, that this is important because there are some major alternatives. But yet, I have to tell you, what we're up against, Dr. Vliet, is this. There's a misinformation war out there so bad. I mean, this is so dangerous and reckless. I'm very, very concerned. And I can see this war already starting. It's right along political lines as everything else is in the country. And, you know, you have a really stunning op-ed on the platform here. FDA bureaucrat brags on blocking physicians prescribing HCQ in early COVID-19. But here's the thing point I want to get to here. There's a very interesting graph and chart that I have been telling everybody I know and their brother about. And that is the deaths that happen in India, Costa Rica, South Korea, Argentina, Turkey, Israel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is comparison to the United States. And this is all back to what we're talking about right now, Dr. Vliet, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Malcolm. When you look at the world data that is updated literally every day, and any of your listeners can go on the web and check it in that link in the editorial that's on your platform, one of the things that's so striking is that all of the countries that decided to follow the science and the early studies from 15 years ago and use hydroxychloroquine in two ways, to prevent illness by giving it in a once a week dose, 400 milligrams is typical, once a week to help prevent it, prophylactic it's called. And the second use is to use it immediately as a treatment. Most of your listeners know that if they have the flu, they get Tamiflu. If it works for that person, it's going to work in the first 48 hours. And hydroxychloroquine is the window of opportunity is the first 48 to 72 hours. Studies from Brazil showed that if you waited more than 7 days, you tripled the hospitalization.
That's the key to it right there, what she just says. I want listeners to hear what Dr. Vliet just says. And you know, I want to tell you something else, Dr. Vliet. If I discovered that I had this COVID-19 business, okay, and if I had it, the first call I would make, the very first call, by the way, without anyone, I would call you. I would call your office. That would be the first call I would make. And I would say, okay, doc, I need the hydroxychloroquine, I need the Z-Pack, and I need the zinc. What the hell are we doing? What do we do next?
Well, your local physician absolutely should help you with that. Whenever any of my patients in other states where I'm not licensed have informed me that they have symptoms, I've told them immediately that they need to see their primary care doctor and try to get the hydroxychloroquine started right away, because that's where the studies worldwide are showing that it can, as Dr. Orion said, it reduces the illness severity and it reduces the viral replication and multiplication that continues to spread the virus to other people.
Time is not on our side when this happens. So when I said to you, if I had this tomorrow, that means every hour that goes by, my life hangs in the balance. And if I'm in a state, or if I have a kook for a doctor, or if I'm in a state that doesn't allow, I don't care what the reason is, it doesn't matter. In other words, my only goal is to get this recipe of the Z-Pack, the zinc, and the hydroxychloroquine in my system. If that doesn't happen, I'm in trouble, am I not?
Well, that is what's happening to people when they can't get it. I just had a call from a patient the other day whose uncle, the doctor, wouldn't prescribe it. And
exactly said, my point.
Asymptomatic. Yeah. And then 2 days later, he's in the ICU on a ventilator.
Exactly.
But there is time is the other. I will do my part to make resources available to guide people to where they can get help. There's some telemedicine services for COVID focused on getting people treated early. that can be quite helpful.
Yeah. Dr. Orient, do you see what I'm talking about now with the time factor? See, what? Let's make sure everybody's aware. What's happening is, because the politics have played out here the way they have, there are a lot of states, and we look at the death rate in New York with Governor Cuomo, and I look at a lot of these states where they have cracked down on the use of hydroxychloroquine and the combination of zinc and Z-Pak we've talked about, and they've already done it in case trial studies and all this, and they've done it in late cases, and then what they've done is they've done it in late cases, and they've taken these few cardiac problems and they put it out there as an example here. Let me just get into this also, this Lancet Medical Journal business. So, all right, over the last, 48 hours, okay, last 48 hours, I started seeing reports, and Dr. Vliet, I thought of you immediately, I swear to you. I started seeing reports on my newswire about the Lancet Medical Journal, and everybody picked this up, all the news outlets. And I knew right away, and I said, oh, Dr. Vliet is going to flip when she sees this. Because I seen all the headlines immediately, and I knew what was happening. This is an information war is what it is. And so... Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I thought of you immediately. It says here, in the study here that looked at more than 96,000 people hospitalized with COVID-19, the respiratory disease caused by the novel coronavirus, those treated with hydroxychloroquine or the related chloroquine had higher risk of death and heart rhythm problems than patients who were not given the medicines. Published in the Lancet Medical Journal showed no benefit for coronavirus patients taking the drugs. I don't know what to say about that. What do you say, Dr. Orient?
I think it's pure junk. It's a Warp Speed publication. The last patient was admitted on April 14th, and this is already in print. And all the people who are touting this are saying, we need peer-reviewed, randomized, double-blind, controlled placebo studies. This was a data mining operation on electronic medical records from nearly 700 hospitals. There was no control over the quality of the data. It was just a very, very poor, I can't even call it a study, a very, very poor report that I think has to be politically motivated because it is such terrible science. I can't understand why Lancet published it unless people are right in calling it the Pravda of modern medicine.
There is clearly an orchestrated, well-organized plan to discredit hydroxychloroquine. There are powerful interests behind it both. And it is not big pharma, as everyone very quickly jumps to blame. This is political. It's geopolitical. There are financial incentives on the vaccine side that have serious safety issues, as Dr. Orient talked about, and I agree with that. We've got all of the drive from stated goals of leftists to destabilize any Western country. All of that's very evident, and it's quite plain. They've said it themselves. That's their goal. And we've got this happening in an election year. These orchestrated messages, and I will not only agree with what Dr. Orient said about the Lancet, I'll go so far as to say this was quickly done to provide the worst possible data, because they selected hospitals with no controls, as she's talking about. You can't have no idea what the quality is. But also, they selected the sickest patients. Nothing works well at that point. Mm-hmm. It's purely supportive care. You cannot undo the damage of the virus at end-stage disease.
Yeah.
And all of the studies that are positive about hydroxychloroquine are being deliberately buried, and it works at the beginning, which NIH and CDC showed 15 years ago.
Over the next, I'm going to say between now and the end of the year, okay, things are going to, I'm sensing, going to get more political, because we have what's called an election in November. Come hell or high water, that's what's going to happen. This nation is going to elect the next president. And so I would say to you this, Dr. Orient, what do you think? Do you see any letdown of this war? Two things here. On the war on hydroxychloroquine and what's happening there, do you see the needle moving at all for the information war? And how do you feel? And this vaccine fits into this thing as well. I mean, they're going to try to rush this. I'm hearing reports even as close as September, October. And the president's pushing to get this out there as well. What do you say to that?
I think what the president needs to do is an executive order to allow hydroxychloroquine during this emergency to be sold over the counter. It is much, much safer than aspirin, than Benadryl, than all kinds of drugs that are over the counter. And it really is needed for life-saving, because if you say you have the disease today and you can't even get a test, a lot of state pharmacies pharmacy boards will not allow the pharmacist to dispense the prescription unless you have a positive test, and you can't get the test, and if you get it, it might be a false negative. And so really the only hope for people is to be able to buy it.
Wow. Okay. Good for you for saying that. God bless you. Dr. Lee, you agree with that?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm working on that this weekend as a proposal for Senator Johnson to take forward.
For President Trump. So in other words, what Dr. Orion was just saying, to do an executive order, say, make it available over the counter because it is that safe. And you're confident of that.
Yes. If we look at the danger of Tylenol, we already know that Tylenol taken in excess can easily cause liver damage. I've had patients who've committed suicide with Tylenol overdoses, and accidentally. I don't mean that they intended to do that.
A tremendous thank you here to Dr. Jane Orient and Dr. Elizabeth Lee Fleet. It is important. A vitally important of life and death, we get this information out there. And we're going to be talking a lot about this in the next many months, I'm telling you. But again, if I get it, friends, you know what I'm going to do. You know where I'm going. So in any event, well, listen, up next on Viewpoint, wow, we've got a big discussion coming about Joe Biden and his comments about Black America. Quite fascinating. The polls also, which I do not believe ever the polls, I never have been a poll believer for a lot of reasons, because they're twisted and tainted mostly, and they're not accurate, as you've seen in 2016. Stay right there, friends, as Viewpoint rolls on.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
One of the things you always know in an election year is that race and racism become a focal point, which is really disgusting, by the way. But it almost always is with these election years. And there is a reason, is because they're trying to buy votes within various groups in America. Now, listen, a lot of people look at this as dividing the people. We don't like it. And in fact, you know where I'm going. You've seen the comments, people, that the Democrat, the presumptive, you got to say presumptive, because he's not officially it yet, but the presumptive Democrat candidate for president, the Democrat candidate, if you will, Joe Biden. So he comes out and he's on this program, The Breakfast Club here. Very interesting fellow on there that hosts the program. I'd watched the program in its entirety. It's quite fascinating. And he says that, he said, I'll tell you what, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or for Trump, then you ain't black, says Biden. Wow. Well, I got to tell you what, people, the fireworks went off from coast to coast and people were pretty outraged. Let me tell you who was really outraged was Black Americans were outraged. And for a lot of reasons, because, you know, for a long time, they've taken advantage of Black America. And so, listen, let me just start here. I put a tweet out. Black America needs to stand tall with white America and tell socialist Democrats to go to hell. We are one America and wish not to be divided. Or used as hashtag vote bait. And we need to be using that hashtag vote bait moving forward through the election season, because I think it says a lot, hashtag vote bait. That's what they're doing here. And I finished that thought with enough with the racism. You are sick, evil, twisted people, if that's all you have said. Joining us on the program here to discuss this is Ron Edwards. Ron is a columnist, a talk show host. His voice on the network every day you hear with an outstanding segment called the Edwards Notebook, 90 seconds, and you get a good bit of information in that 90 seconds where he levels the playing field with what we call the out loud truth. And Ron is a Black American, a great Black American. It's great to have him here. And Ava Armstrong joins us as well. Some political commentators, you know, radio personality here at America Out Loud. Ava is a terrific author. And let me remind you all now, because I haven't done this in the program yet, go to the bookstore, buy the books. We have great books on there. In fact, you'll even see General Michael Flynn's in there. You'll see his in there as well. And you'll see a lot of great books in there from our guest and our experts like Ava, right on the bookstore. The link is right on the nav bar at AmericaOutLoud.com, friends. Get it right there. So, all right, Ron, Ava, so I start with that video in the comments there. And you know, Ron, I'm going to start right there with you, brother. You know, I'm going to put you right on the spot here because you can speak from personal experiences. In fact, you and I just did a show on racism in America just the other day here with some others, in fact, on the Vine, and it was terrific. But I responded to it in such a way because I'm outraged myself. Not that's me. I'm not a Black American. You are. What was your sense? How did you feel when you seen Biden come out with what he said there to this Breakfast Club?
Well, I was glad he said it. And the reason why I'm glad he said it is because I said, finally, there was something that a Democrat did that got Black America outraged. I have been waiting for decades, literally, for Black Americans to wake up to the BS that has been run on them for so long, especially the Black female that has been always been ever since the belly warming days of the slavery era, has always been there to cater to these Democrat rulers, especially the men. You see that in the case with what's her name, Big Mama Abrams, and some of the other gals. I mean, we now call Big Mama Abrams H&R Puffin stuff. I mean, she's walking around. You couldn't kick her off the plantation if you tried to blow her out or shoo her out with a flamethrower and many other blacks. But I'm very happy. You know, sometimes it takes a slap across the face, such an insult to that degree to make people wake up and realize, wait a minute, we've been had. After trillions of dollars of waste through the government school system that has literally turned most Black Americans into ignorant fools running around behind the back end of the golden donkey for all these years. And Malcolm, I am very, very ecstatic that finally Black Americans are waking up en masse and saying, well, wait a minute. You know, it's a shame that it took a few sentences, but whatever it takes, and I think this is a slap across the face of Black America that finally, you know, like what Cher said in that old movie, snap out of it. Well, maybe this is what has snapped Black America out of their stupor here.
I pray you're right for a lot of reasons. And because, first of all, we all deserve better than this nonsense of racism. You know, to me, guys, racism is the lowest possible denominator of the human species of life, of those people who are that way. And for those who use it as vote bait, as I just say now, it to me is the most disgusting thing you can do. I mean, my skin crawls when people do this. Let me read you a few comments from some of the people that spoke out about this after this played on the Breakfast Club, please. And so Charlie Kirk says, Democrats have never, not once, been the party of Black people. Republicans freed the slaves, passed civil rights, and constantly fight to get government out of the way of all Americans. Democrats only fight to keep the Black community dependent on them in exchange for votes. Sick. Kay James, who is a terrific Black American, she says, my DNA, life experience, heritage, and culture are what define my Blackness. With all due respect, Joe Biden, you do not get to define who I am. Wow. Even Diddy comes out and says, hey, bro, Joe Biden. I already told you the hashtag black vote ain't free. That's another hashtag we need to take and do something with what Diddy puts out there. Black vote ain't free. We need to take that and vote bait hashtag and do something with them. And I'm telling you out there, listeners, because the black vote is crucial to 2020 as well as every vote is. But let me be sure of that. And last one, Ava, I got to share this one with you because I like the way it ends. And that's Lawrence Jones says, dude helps write the 1994 crime bill and then tries to tell us what's black? Kiss my ass. And you say what, Ava?
Bingo. I was just going to bring up Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott, and
please,
his response. But Tim was being interviewed by a person who was trying to really trip him up. And he went on to state chapter and verse what President Trump has done for the black community. In just, you know, 3 short years, this was amazing. I mean, the things that he was ticking off on his list, and I'll give you just a couple of them. $75 billion in the private sector. This is all private sector money. And 8,700 of the poorest community, black communities, get this money. In 1994, the crime bill you just mentioned, Trump is actually taking measures and righting the wrongs in that bill. He also set up an opportunity scholarship fund. And right now it's for black children and in poverty zones, and 25,000 students are on a wait list for that scholarship fund. So for Joe Biden to even say, get in line or you're not black enough, I mean, I don't know. That's like the ultimate insult, I think.
Well, it is. And you know, Ava, you know what else is happening with that comment he made? Listen to this. Hours later, I'm very serious when I tell you this, you can buy a shirt that says, you ain't black.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And so, and Ron, they're right on the Trump-Pence website. They have a very young, a very attractive black lady. It says, hashtag, you ain't black, Joe Biden. Yeah, so you can.
Amen.
Yeah, you can go buy a T-shirt for $30 and tell everybody what you think.
I noticed Fox News this morning put an article out that said the NAACP has said publicly that they do not endorse Joe Biden. They do not endorse candidates, period.
Wow.
And it was quite a strong statement. And I thought that was interesting as well.
The timing of that's very interesting. And he has alluded to the fact, the vice president has, that he has the support and the confidence of the NAACP, what you just say there, Ava. So that's very fascinating. Ron, I got to ask you something. You mentioned up front you've been waiting a long time for something to be said. And we know that the left and the socialist Democrats of America have fully taken advantage of black America. We know that. That is a fact. And we're trying to expose all this. And a lot of us are banging our head against the wall, wondering. I do get a sense some inroads are being made. But let me ask you this question, please, because this is what's on my mind. Do you remember a few years back when Joe made that outrageous comment about keeping you all in chains? You remember that, Ron?
They're going to put you back in chains.
Back in chains. I thought that was going to be the comment that would have gotten everybody wide awake as to what the hell they were up to. Why didn't that comment do it like that? That was pretty outrageous.
Well, they were under the spell of Ali Obama and things of that sort. And we had just come out of the era of George W. Bush, and black Americans had been convinced that he was the devil incarnate and the worst thing walking the planet. And so that wasn't it. But now you've got a situation where black Americans are waking up. I mean, you look at the history. You go back to the days of George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington, all these great men who were Republicans, by the way, and how they were supported by the Republican Party. It was a Republican Party general who started Howard University, which at one time was considered to be the black Harvard. It was a very high ranking institution, intellectual wise, at one time. And, you know, it's about principle, not party. And I think for so long, blacks got away from that. They bought into the bitterness aspect of the party line. America is racist. You're a victim. We're here to help you. You can't do it on your own. And here's some, as Lyndon Johnson used to say, don't give them fulfill the promise. Give them a little bit, just enough to keep those dummies coming back for more votes, wanting more and more and more. And we'll have those, and he said it, we'll have those niggers voting for 200 years Democrat. And I mean, that's a quote from Lyndon Baines Johnson. That's how confident they were.
You are so well spoken about this. I so appreciate what you just put out there right now. And I got, Ron, one other thought, a couple of things I need to get to here. One of the things is Joe Biden, the campaign, came out and said, I know that the comments have come off like I was taking the African-American vote for granted, but nothing could be further from the truth, he says. Like, I know, like, it is a snicker you give there, and I do the same, because we know that he's lying right there when he says that. In any event, he apologized, and he's out. He's on the ropes now and been apologizing, and the time and favor of what you say about the comment from the NAACP is quite fascinating as well. I want to talk to you guys about the polls a moment here. So there's a lot of controversy about this Fox poll, and the president has really been outraged about it here. The Fox poll showed that Vice President Joe Biden was leading Trump by 8 points nationally, which is hard to imagine that is the case, but that's what they're saying. Again, you know, if you believe it. Again, with the presumptive Democrat nominee opening up wide leads, they say, among independents and older voters who broke for Trump in 2016. And so the survey released finds Biden at 48% support, Trump at 40%. Again, if you buy these polls here, the president was outraged, and he's hit back very, very hard against this here. What is your sense? Ron, stay with you a moment here. What's your sense about the polls here and what they're saying with this Fox poll and the president coming out on that? What are your thoughts?
Well, just on the surface, with the exception of a few nutty relatives, I don't know very many people that are enamored with Mr. Biden. Even people that are not crazy about Trump, most of the Americans I know across the political spectrum, they are not in favor of Biden for a numerous reasons, whether it's his mental state, whether it's his political views, whether it's his economic plans, by the way, to undo all that Trump has done. So there's so many reasons why so many people from various backgrounds are not in favor of Mr. Biden. I find these particular polls very suspect. Now, you have to understand, even with Fox, which now is being run by folks like Paul Ryan, an anti-Trump guy, people of that ilk who are taking over Fox. So you have to take these things with a huge grain of salt. And then the others, most of the people that are running these polls, they are left of center politically. And so they're, as you said, Malcolm, these polls are going to be skewered in their direction. And you can ask a poll, by the way, a question in a certain way where they have to answer if it's a yes or no.
Exactly.
And you can skewer it. Say they're for Biden. Yeah. It's how you phrase it.
That's
right. Phraseology here.
Well, yeah. And the president put on Twitter here, to your point, Ron, he said Fox News should fire their fake pollster. Never had a good Fox poll yet. And he goes on to say, why? And another tweet here, Ava, he says, why doesn't Fox News put up the CNBC poll? Or the, believe it or not, he says, CNN poll? Hope Roger A. is looking down and watching what has happened to this once beautiful creation. What do you say to that, Ava?
Well, first of all, I have not believed any polls since 2016, so just so you know. But I want to tell you what effect this may have on the election in November.
Please.
I'm glad that all these entities are saying that Biden is higher in the polls. So that will give the Democrats a false feeling of security. And what that will also do, it will rev up Trump's base even harder, higher. So, yeah, I think them putting out the fake news like they're doing, the fake polls, it could blow back on them, and it probably will.
The stakes are incredibly enormous on this election here. Tremendous thank you to Ron Edwards, Ava Armstrong here. What a great program of just incredible talent, and it's always a pleasure, my friends, to be here with you and to bring you the best news magazine we can possibly do inside of an hour, by the way, and still be timely with all the news you need. Now, listen, it's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. We need you to get there to help us put liberty out there where it belongs and to secure our future. It's going to come down to you and I. That's what it's going to come down to, people. So we need you to get out there and push this out there and let folks know that liberty is alive and well in America here. And we will fight always for our freedom. Thank you again, friends, for being with me here on the program and the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud.